So tell me if any of this applies to you. You're ready to take your inner child work to the next level. You haven't yet done the somatic piece of this healing work, and your body's still holding on to stuff your brain has already processed. You're stuck in functional freeze. You're going through the motions, but deep down you feel numb, disconnected, and exhausted. Or you've done the reading, you've listened to the podcast, including mine, but you still feel like something is missing. Or maybe you are great at understanding your trauma, but not so great at feeling it. Now, if you related to any of those, and I'm sure you did, let's be honest, then you need to sign the hell up for Breathe to Heal, a somatic journey to reclaim your inner child. This is a 6-week course combining breath work, somatic practices, and parts work, all designed to reconnect you with your body, regulate your nervous system, and gently release what's been keeping you stuck for far too long. Now, this is being facilitated by breath work and somatic practitioner and fellow member of the Shit Show community, Teresa. And we are starting on Wednesday, August 13th. And this is all being housed within the Shit Show community, which means that you get to show up exactly as you are. So messy as hell, if that describes your current state. You don't have to be the perfect student. You can ask the stupid questions and you can be amongst others who truly get it, all from the comfort of your own damn home or wherever the hell you choose to do this. Now, there are only 8 spots left. Yes, 8 spots left. So head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That's breathe with an E at the end. adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. I promise you, because this has been my experience and the experience of so many others, this is the work that you are going to see great dividends on, okay?
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If your reaction feels way too big for what just happened, that's not drama, that's trauma. My name is Andrea, and this is An Old Child. Welcome back to Adult Child, where we take a deep dive into the impact of growing up in a dysfunctional family. Ahoy, my dear shit shows. For any new listeners, my name is Andrea. I am a total and complete shit show. I am the captain of this hot mess of a ship, and I am back feeling revitalized and recharged after an amazing vacation to Italy and Spain. It was the shit. Go check out my Instagram if you want to see some pictures from my trip. I ate my face off. I swam my face off. It was my first time taking an international trip by myself, or I met a friend for part of it, but it was my first time going abroad by myself, and highly, highly, highly recommend doing it. It was amazing to actually like not work. It was the first time that I took an actual break from chairing the shit show support group meetings for like a period of time. So I just chaired my first meeting back today, and the ship is still afloat, folks. The ship is still afloat. So thank you, shit shows, for not abandoning ship while I was away. I share this in the community. Like, my big fear is that one day I'm going to log on to a group and everyone will have decided overnight that they don't like the community anymore, and they're all going to abandon me on the same day. You guys promised me that you won't. You've promised me that you won't. Really quickly, I just want to say there's 8 damn spots left in this Breathe to Heal workshop. 8 damn spots left. This is a 6-week live course. There's also an option for the replay. It's on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're starting on August 13th. This is a course that is combining breath work, somatic practices, and parts work, being facilitated by our very own fellow shit show member and somatic and breath work practitioner, Teresa. So this is a course you want to get in on, okay? Like, everyone had a pretty profound experience that took it the first time, and I'm sure we're going to go even deeper this time. And of course, it's being housed within the shit show, which means it's a unique experience. You're going to feel safe. You're going to feel like you can be yourself. You're going to be amongst cool people. This is not some stuffy old course. This is real, genuine, authentic connection and healing. So head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That's breathe with an E at the end to get your damn spot, okay? Don't wait. Go get it. 8 spots left. I promise that you won't regret signing up for this. And it is a steal compared to the cost of most somatic courses. So today, folks, we are revisiting one of my most popular episodes. This is a solo episode where I dive deep into emotional flashbacks, the hallmark symptom of complex PTSD, something that I experienced for so many years and had no damn clue that that's what I was experiencing. This was a coin termed by Mr. Pete Walker. And I just realized that I said that was a coin termed upon editing this. And I am going to leave that in. This is a coin termed. Can we make this a thing, folks? Our Lord and Savior Pete Walker, in his book, Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving, which is an absolute must read for every adult child out there. It's definitely in my top 3 book recommendation for all adult children. And emotional flashbacks occur when something in our present triggers something that is unresolved from our past, and we get catapulted back in time to that very exact moment, and we experience the same exact feelings that we felt then. This isn't about remembering something that happened. This is about reliving the feeling of it. It is that overwhelming spiral that hits you when somebody doesn't text you back, or you make a mistake at work, or somebody sets a boundary with you, and suddenly you are flooded with panic, fear, shame, rage, despair, feeling like you are 7 years old all over again. This is, if it's hysterical, it's historical. This is when your reaction seems so out of proportion to the situation at hand, and you have no damn clue why you are reacting this way. So in this episode, I unpack what emotional flashbacks are, how they differ from what we typically associate with PTSD flashbacks, what is actually happening in the brain, and how to recognize the signs when you are in the midst of one. Now, one thing I do just want to say is that, you know, a lot of this episode focuses on how emotional flashbacks show up in romantic relationships, because that is where mine, that's where mine tend to scream the loudest. But emotional flashbacks can show up anywhere, whether that be in family dynamics, friendship, work, even just sitting alone all by yourself with your own damn thoughts. So whether you're single, you're partnered, you're somewhere in between, you're in a situationship, I guarantee that this episode will hit a nerve in the best way possible, of course, and provide you with a lot. So without further ado, let's get on with the damn show. But first, let's talk about why you, yes, you need to damn the Join Shit Show, my online support community, where we have a minimum of 6 weekly Zoom support groups, where you can connect with other fellow shit shows who are doing the damn work to heal, people with personalities, people who are willing to also find some laughter in this rather grueling healing journey that we're on, let's be honest, okay? This is no walk in the park. A place where you can get advice, where you can vent, a safe place for emotional release, where you can gain access to tools, resources, a place where you can meet friends, a place where you can connect with people on the specific things that you struggle with. So we have over 20 small groups within the community that are focused on different things, from healing from narcissists to food struggles, neurodivergent issues, employment struggles, shit show parenting, childhood sexual abuse survivors, you name it, we've got it. This is relational trauma. You heal relational trauma through safe relationships. This is the place where you can do so. So you, yes, you, the person that's been wanting to join for forever. How about today's the day? How about today's the day? For less than $1 a day, hop on this damn ship already, okay? We're sick of waiting for you. Head to adulttrialpodcast.com/shitshow, or you can see the link in the bio. Do it now. Do it now. Do it often. Next, give me a low follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at adultchildpod. And last but not least, please, 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 give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you. Love you all. All right, let's rock and roll. And again, let's set those expectations at the floor, folks. Set them low, baby. So what are we talking about? We are going to be talking about, let me give you the lay of the land. What is an emotional flashback? What is going on in the brain during a flashback? What is the difference between like a traditional PTSD flashback and emotional flashback? What triggers a flashback? How do we know that we're in a flashback, and how the hell to cope with them? But first we are going to talk a little bit about me. So, where to begin? So a couple things to set the stage. I saw a post on Instagram from Ingrid Clayton. So Ingrid was on the podcast a month or so ago. That was a damn good episode. And this is what it said. Sometimes when we feel stagnant or feel like we are going backwards, we might actually be going back. To rescue parts of us that have been stuck in time, the parts we couldn't override no matter how hard we tried. And in finding these precious parts, reclaiming them for all their goodness, power, creativity, vulnerability, we are released even further into the here and now, into the fullness of who we are meant to be. Maybe there is no backwards or lack of momentum. Maybe it's all the perfect speed and perfect timing, making space and safety for the wounds to be found, felt, and healed. And this resonated with me hard because this has been a really, really hard year for me. And this year I have experienced more emotional flashbacks than I have experienced in any other year of my adult child recovery. So I think I'm closing up on year six here. And there has been a part of me that has felt like I am going backwards or that I am stagnant in a way. But what I realize, and Bethany Webster spoke to this in the episode I had with her about how, you know, we heal and we gain resilience so that deeper, more profound levels of healing can occur. And so, you know, there's this part of me that has been almost disappointed, beating myself up, telling myself that I'm, you know, regressing or I'm not making forward progress or that I shouldn't be feeling certain ways or that I shouldn't be behaving certain ways. When the reality is that this is all in imperfect timing and that I am healing and that it took the first 5 years for me to be able to be in a position to where I'm now able to start confronting what has been coming up for me. And I actually recorded an episode. It was going to be an introduction to one of my episodes probably a month ago. And I was in it. Like, I was hysterically crying. It was actually like wonderful content, but it did not sound very good with like the tears and the snot and everything. But I'm going to touch upon some of the stuff that I was saying through my sobbing then. The one realization that I've had over the past few months has been that the healing and the recovery that I've experienced thus far has been very much in the head, very much conscious, and not so much in the body and somatic. What's really been coming up for me has been a lot of, it's like inner mother stuff, but it really was just kind of like a perfect storm of events that occurred that honestly, initially I was pissed off. Like, I was really pissed off at God. Like, why is this happening to me? Can you just cut me a break? But now I clearly see that this is all happening the way it's supposed to. This is all happening in support of my greater healing, even though that can be really painful. But I'll kind of fill in the blank some. So I guess it was back in April, and I shared about some of this on the podcast. I met a guy on an app. He took me to a Styx concert, which was kind of a little like woo-woo universe thing, because I had just announced that Come Sail Away was the official theme song that I was deeming for the new community for the shit show. So, of course, I'm like, he's obviously the one. But we had such a wonderful first date, and I just felt like so seen, so heard, so understood in a way that I had not felt in any prior dating experience. And we went on a few more dates and it was great. Like, I was able to connect with him on many different levels and it just felt really natural and easy, but not in a like anxious attachment. Like, whatever. I just told you though, oh my God, he's just my soulmate. But it just didn't feel like as like addicted. It didn't feel like kind of the trauma bonds of the past relationship experiences that I've had.
But here's the asterisk. The asterisk is that he was in the midst of a divorce, and I was under the impression that he was further along in the process than he was. And so after talking to my therapist, after talking to some dudes about this, I made the decision that I was going to cut it off with him until, you know, we could take a pause until you're further along in the process and you're actually in a place where you can be as emotionally available as I am. And the fact that I was willing to do that, like, that was fucking huge for me, because this was me walking away from quality crumbs, y'all. When I used to settle for moldy ass crumbs, like, that was my pattern. And here was me. Here was me walking away from quality crumbs and making a decision that, I mean, I've never done something like that in the past. Now, don't get me wrong, like, leading up to making that decision, I definitely was like full of fear. I definitely experienced some emotional flashbacks. They were not to the severity or duration as I've experienced in the past, but whew, it was hard. Like, I hadn't felt that way in a long ass time, just that feeling like I was going to die. And so I made this decision to walk away from that. And so that was huge. I at the same time decided that I was going to dive into some new work, like a new therapy process. And I'm not going to say what it was, because, you know, I ended up not having a good experience, but I don't want to talk badly about this modality or the practitioner of it, because, you know, I think it is unique to what my current experience was. But so I decided that I was going to do this new therapy modality with somebody. And I guess it's not even really therapy. So I guess we'll call it a healing modality, not a therapy modality. And I wanted to have it focused on just some more things that came up for me related to this relationship experience, particularly related to these feelings of, you know, why do I feel like a relationship is my, like, ticket to happiness? And why do I still sort of lose myself when I enter a relationship? This ended up really backfiring on me. And the reason for this is because I was not in a grounded space. Like, I think I started doing this work about a week after I cut it off with this guy. And like we discuss with EMDR, you know, there is this initial phase of getting grounded. So we can be in a stable place to be able to do this work, because it's going to bring shit up. And I was not in that place at all. And also the person that I was doing it with, you know, I don't think she knew enough about my story. Perhaps she doesn't know enough about, like, complex PTSD or codependency type issues. But it really, really, really did a doozy on me. And there was one afternoon that it was the first time in 14 years that I seriously considered picking up a drink. And that was scary as hell. And thank God I didn't do that. But what happened after that was just a series of events that triggered my abandonment wound. And I was reading an article the other day, and this kind of sums up what my experience was. This is what this person said in this blog. It said, "Since I was not fully out of the initial episode, I was already sitting in a primed and conditioned state to succumb to additional occurrences of post-traumatic stress." And so that was what was happening to me. It was like one hit after the next hit of that abandonment wound, hitting that primal abandonment wound that is so deep and that is so strong for me. And that maybe if these incidences had occurred to me on a singular basis, probably wouldn't have rattled me very much. But the The accumulation of all of these things happening together was really, really, really hard. So all of this happened April, May, June of this year, and really put me in a vulnerable state, a really raw state, feeling very, lonely, and led to me, slipping into some old coping mechanisms. And subsequent events have occurred. One day I will share about at length when I'm still processing, and a lot of emotional flashbacks, a lot of really painful emotional flashbacks, but a very different experience than what I've experienced in my past. And I will share about that later in the episode when we talk about how to cope with emotional flashbacks. But what has become so crystal clear to me is that all of this has served as the catalyst to the realization of what still needs to be healed within me. And isn't that the way it always fucking goes, folks? Like, it is always through pain that what still needs to be healed is revealed. And I've shared in some episodes about how I've had this realization about all of these feelings towards my mom that I genuinely did not know were in there. Like, I genuinely didn't think that, I really felt like I was good there. Like, I knew that there are still tears to be cried, more inner child healing, but I really thought I was good, like, to an extent on the relationship with my mom. And that turns out not to be the case at all. There's so much unresolved grief that needs to be felt. What I want to emphasize is that this healing work is not linear, and we don't really have a say in how all this shit unfolds too. And whether you want to call it the subconscious mind or the universe or your higher power, whatever, knows when we are ready to address certain things. And unfortunately, the conscious part of ourselves doesn't really have much of a say in how or when that happens. And sometimes healing is really fucking messy. And sometimes healing is really fucking painful. And sometimes we have to take two steps backwards, but it's okay. It's all part of the process. And the most important thing that we can do is show ourselves compassion in these moments where we feel like we are regressing or we feel like we are stagnant in our growth. I just was rereading The Healing the Shame That Binds You by John Bradshaw. And one of the things that he talks about is how the core of trauma recovery lies in releasing our toxic shame. And so that is why it is so important that we are mindful about how we are treating ourselves when we are suffering, when we are in pain, or in those moments where we don't feel like we should be feeling this way, or we don't think that we should be behaving those ways. Those are the moments more than ever that we need to show ourselves some compassion and grace. So yeah, there's that. But now it's time to get into the real meat and potatoes of this episode and talk about emotional flashbacks. First off, I want to say that the Bible pertaining to emotional flashbacks is Pete Walker's Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving. That is a must read for every damn one of us. And I will be sharing a lot of information that comes from that book. So what the hell is an emotional flashback? In layman's terms, an emotional flashback is when something triggers our unresolved childhood trauma, which then causes us to be catapulted back in time and we feel the exact same feelings that we felt as a kid during these experiences. Pete Walker defines it as an intensely disturbing regression to the overwhelming feeling states of your childhood abandonment. When you are trapped in a flashback, you are reliving the worst emotional times of your childhood. Sounds great, doesn't it?
So as I shared in the introduction, I spent many, many years in experiencing emotional flashbacks in romantic relationships and not having any damn clue that was what was going on. And it was the aha moment with Brian number one that I finally was able to connect the dots that this is a feeling that I felt often as a child. This is the same exact feeling as the separation anxiety that I experienced with my mom as a little girl. My very first memory of this happening was, just one night. I just woke up in the middle of the night and I felt like I was going to die if I didn't sleep in my mom's bed. And, you know, I went into her room. She walked me back to my room. Then my dad did it. It was this back and forth. And I was just relentless. Like, I had to sleep in my mom's bed. And when they realized that nobody was going to get any sleep unless I slept in my mom's bed, my dad slept in my bed, they gave in. And it was the same feeling that I experienced whenever I would go to a sleepover. Like, I would get this panic come over me right before it was time to go to bed. Then I would have to call my parents to have them come pick me up. I'm sure that we all experience emotional flashbacks a little bit different. But, you know, for me, it just truly is the worst fucking feeling in the whole wide world. It literally feels like I am going to die. And whatever it is that I'm fixating on, for me, it is triggered by the fear of abandonment. And so when this sets in, it feels like if this person abandons me, like, my life is literally over. My life is ruined. I will never recover from this. I'm not going to be okay until I hear from this person. And I can't concentrate on anything else. Like, I become totally consumed with whomever person is, whoever it is that I feel like is abandoning me.
So how is this different from a regular flashback? What do we want to call this? Like plain PTSD? OG PTSD? Basically the PTSD that everyone thinks of when you think of PTSD. So war, catastrophic events, sexual assaults. And so for those types of trauma, you get intrusive flashbacks. This is when something reminds us of the traumatic event and we feel like we are back at the scene of the trauma, re-experiencing the sights, the sounds, and the emotions associated with it. Another type of flashback that could occur for people with OG reg PTSD is dissociative flashbacks. And so this is when you have a feeling of being detached from oneself. So someone might feel as if they are like observing the traumatic event from a distance or experiencing the event from a third person perspective. But then we have emotional flashbacks, and this is re-experiencing intense emotions rather than there being a visual or audio component. So it is purely intense emotions.
The other thing that separates an emotional flashback from an OG PTSD flashback is that it's not associated with a singular event, but rather a collection of memories of all the various experiences that we had during our childhood. And piled on top of that is all of the experiences in adulthood that also triggered this unresolved trauma. So for me, when I'm going into an emotional flashback, it's not that I'm not only just feeling the feelings from my childhood, I'm also feeling all the past experiences of, you know, being in romantic relationships and experiencing abandonment.
So what the hell is going on in the brain during a flashback? First, I want to explain how the hell we got here. Like, what is going on in childhood that causes us to have emotional flashbacks in adulthood? So our limbic system and the amygdala is part of our limbic system. This is the part of the brain that processes our emotions and collects data gathered by our senses. And then it is the thinking part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, that then takes all of that info collected from the limbic system and makes sense of it. Like it creates a whole coherent picture or story that we can remember. But what happens during trauma is that the prefrontal cortex shuts down and the limbic system revs up. So since the prefrontal cortex was not doing its job of, you know, elevating this information to a conscious level and making sense of it, these emotions and these sense impressions get stored within us, but they remain unconscious. So the body remembers, but the mind forgets. And so I want to point out here, it's really not what actually happened to us in a sense that causes the damage. It's really that we didn't make sense or process what happened to us that is damaging. And so in Healing the Shame That Binds You, John Bradshaw says, trauma is bound to happen somewhere along the line in any normal childhood. In a healthy, respectful family, a child's feelings are validated. As Alice Miller has repeatedly written, it is not the trauma we suffer in childhood that makes us emotionally ill, but the inability to express the trauma. Children need their pain validated. They need to be shown how to discharge their feelings. They need time to do the discharge work, and they need support. An abandoned child would not necessarily become shame-based if there was a nourishing ally who could validate his pain and give him time to resolve it by doing his grief work. So now let's talk about what's going on in the brain during an emotional flashback. So the amygdala, this place where all of these emotional memories are stored. In our day-to-day life, the amygdala functions as like an emotional lookout post. So it scans every situation, every perception of ours, and asks, you know, is it dangerous? Is this something I fear? Is this something that could hurt me? And when the answer to that is yes, it then alerts the rest of the brain that we are in emergency mode. It sounds the alarms. So in addition to, you know, scanning our environment, at the same time, the amygdala is also comparing what is happening in the here and now with what has happened in the past. And its method of comparison is associative. So there just needs to be like one key element of a present situation that is similar to the past for it to match it. When in actuality, like this could be contempt prior to investigation, it makes this determination before we truly have enough evidence to determine whether or not there is similarities to the past. And research has shown that in the first few milliseconds of perceiving something, we don't just identify what we see, but we have an opinion on it. And so in a matter of milliseconds, the amygdala can perceive a threat that it somehow connects to our unresolved childhood trauma. The amygdala alerts the rest of the brain. We go into an emotional flashback. We get flooded with all of these feelings that we felt during those childhood experiences. And we don't have any idea that that is what the hell is going on. We think that it has everything to do with the present circumstance at hand and nothing to do with the past. And it can seem so irrational, right? Like I remember thinking, why am I feeling this way over somebody not texting me back? Or why am I this upset about a guy that I spent 2 hours with, like, why do I feel like I am going to die, right? Like, this is pathetic, but it doesn't matter that consciously we think it's irrational. The amygdala has taken us hostage. So now let's talk about triggers. So anything that reminds us of the original childhood wound will trigger that pain if this wound is still unresolved or unprocessed. So we have external and internal triggers. So external triggers would be people, places, things, events, our five senses, facial expressions, styles of communication, visiting your parents, you know, seeing somebody who resembles your abuser, anniversaries, hearing someone use a particular tone of voice, the way that somebody looks at us, making a mistake, having to ask for help, having to speak in front of a group, authority figures, my classic one, somebody not texting you back after 10 minutes. So then we have internal triggers. And so this is when the inner critic or the inner critical parent, you know, says shit to us that sends us into an emotional flashback. So you're worthless, you're unlovable, you're a failure, blah, 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 blah. You know, those words did not come from us. And so when the inner critic is sending us that message, it can be a trigger to the unresolved trauma of the experiences that we had as kids in which that message was ingrained in us. So now let's talk about how the hell can you tell if you are in an emotional flashback? So number one, the biggest way to tell is when the reaction that we are having is out of proportion to the situation at hand. Somebody hasn't texted me back and I want to fucking kill myself, right? And so the two examples that P. Walker gives in the book is one, when a minor upset feels like an emergency, and two, when a minor unfairness feels like a travesty of justice. So somebody took the last cupcake or something and you feel like you really got fucking burned. Other ways to tell that you are in an emotional flashback: when you are feeling small, helpless, hopeless, when the inner critic gets louder than normal, or when we find ourselves engaging in more numbing or dissociative behavior than normal. So all of these are indicators that we could be in the midst of an emotional flashback. And so being able to recognize when we are in the midst of an emotional flashback is a skill that we must hone. It takes time, but it is absolutely possible. I can say for myself now that I can identify rather quickly, if not instantaneously, when I am in an emotional flashback. It can often be difficult for us to figure out what the hell triggered us, because this is typically unconscious memories that are getting stirred up. And so I want to share a tip, which is to keep a trauma log. So this is where you will keep track of any time you get triggered or any time you go into an emotional flashback, you know, saying what happened, what were you thinking? What were you feeling physically? What were you feeling emotionally? And what were you saying? And so you may be able to see some sort of a pattern by tracking all of this that might give you some clues as to what the particular trigger is. So now let's talk about what the hell to do when you are in the midst of one and you're able to recognize it. First, just let me say, the notion that we will become so healed that we will get to a place where we will never experience emotional flashbacks is probably a bit far-fetched, y'all. Like, hate to break it to you, but we'll probably be dealing with this for the rest of our lives. However, cope with it and have it not be so debilitating. So these are the 13 steps for managing emotional flashbacks, and this comes from Pete Walker's book. So number one, say to yourself, I am having a flashback. Just doing that, having that acknowledgement is huge. It doesn't necessarily make the feelings, the pain go away, but somehow it just makes it seem a bit more manageable. Number two, remind yourself, I feel afraid, but I am not in danger. I am safe now, here in the present. Number three, own your right or need to have boundaries. Remind yourself that you do not have to allow anyone to mistreat you.
You are free to leave dangerous situations and protest unfair behavior. 4, speak reassuringly to the inner child. The child needs to know that you love them unconditionally, that they can come to you for comfort and protection when they feel lost and scared. And so this is one thing that I do when I'm able to recognize that I am in the midst of a flashback is talk to my inner child and tell her that, you know, I love her, that she is safe, that I am not going to abandon her, and that this time is different. Even though it feels like the past, it's not. 5, deconstruct eternity thinking. In childhood, fear and abandonment felt endless. A safer future was unimaginable. Remember that this flashback will pass as it always has before. 6, remind yourself that you are in an adult body with allies, skills, and resources to protect you that you never had as a child. 7, ease back into your body. Fear launches you into heady worrying or numbing and spacing out. So A, gently ask your body to relax. B, breathe deeply and slowly. C, slow down. D, find a safe place to unwind and soothe yourself. E, feel the fear in your body without reacting to it. Fear is just an energy in your body. It cannot hurt you if you do not run from it. 8, resist the inner critic's drasticizing, how do you say that? Drasticizing, I guess, and catastrophizing. A, use thought stopping to halt the critic's endless exaggerations of danger and its constant planning to control the uncontrollable. Refuse to shame, hate, or abandon yourself. Channel the anger of self-attack into saying no to your critic's unfair self-criticism. Or B, use thought substitution or thought correction to replace negative thinking with a memorized list of your qualities and accomplishments. So I will put it in the show notes, but in the book, but it's also on the web, Pete Walker's written a bunch of like little scripts of things that you can say to yourself out loud, thought substitution and thought correction based off different things. So like if we're dealing with perfectionism or black and white thinking, there's quite a few that he has these recommended scripts that you can say to yourself. 9, and this is a big one, allow yourself to grieve. Flashbacks are opportunities to release old, unexpressed feelings of fear, hurt, and abandonment. Validate and soothe your child's past experience of helplessness and hopelessness. Healthy grieving can turn your tears into self-compassion and your anger into self-protection. So that is something that I have been able to do in the midst of these emotional flashbacks that I've been experiencing is sitting with it. And I feel like I'm now at a place, the subconscious mind knows that I'm now at a place where I can handle that, that I can sit with those emotions. Now, you know, I'm not sitting there for like hours. There's only so much we can take, but I will try my best to sit with the feeling, breathe in and out, talk to my inner child, and just sit in the discomfort for as long as what seems, you know, healthy for me before I will pick up the phone and, you know, ask for help. 10, cultivate safe relationships and seek support. Take time alone when you need it, but don't let shame isolate you. Feeling shame doesn't mean you are shameful. So this is fucking huge too. I'm so grateful for the amazing people in my life who know exactly how I feel in the midst of these flashbacks and are able to talk me off the ledge. Because in the past, prior to, you know, starting this podcast, I really didn't have anybody who understood what it was like to experience an emotional flashback. And so that has been such a lifesaver, a game changer. And I truly know that part of the reason that all of this stuff is surfacing for me now is because my higher self knows that I have the support in my life
to confront this stuff and to do this healing work. So damn grateful. 12, figure out what you're flashing back to. So we've talked about this. We talked about the trauma log. And number 13, be patient with a slow recovery process. Who the fuck wants to hear that? It takes time in the present to become de-adrenalized, and considerable time in the future to gradually decrease the intensity, duration, and frequency of the flashbacks. Real recovery is a gradually progressive process, often two steps forward and one step back, not an attained salvation fantasy. Don't beat yourself up for having a flashback. Well, folks, oh man, oh man, that was a lot of talking. For those of you who have made it this far in the journey, well done. Yeah, let me know your thoughts on the episode. I always love hearing aha's, insights, whatever's related to any episode. And I just want to express my gratitude to every single person listening to this podcast. Thank you for allowing me this space, this opportunity, this love, this support to go through this healing work in a very public way. And I just feel so honored. This podcast is, I know it's much bigger than just me. And I feel humbled that that I've been chosen to do this work, to be a voice for this cause. And again, I'm just so extremely appreciative for each and every one of y'all's support. Love you all. What you holding on to? Just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it all go. What you got to do, yeah. So tell me if any of this applies to you. You're ready to take your inner child work to the next level. You haven't yet done the somatic piece of this healing work, and your body's still holding on to stuff your brain has already processed. You're stuck in functional freeze. You're going through the motions, but deep down you feel numb, disconnected, and exhausted. Or you've done the reading, you've listened to the podcast, including mine, but you still feel like something is missing. Or maybe you are great at understanding your trauma, but not so great at feeling it. Now, if you related to any of those, and I'm sure you did, let's be honest, then you need to sign the hell up for Breathe to Heal, a somatic journey to reclaim your inner child. This is a 6-week course combining breath work, somatic practices, and parts work, all designed to reconnect you with your body, regulate your nervous system, and gently release what's been keeping you stuck for far too long. Now, this is being facilitated by breath work and somatic practitioner and fellow member of the Shit Show community, Teresa. And we are starting on Wednesday, August 13th. And this is all being housed within the Shit Show community, which means that you get to show up exactly as you are. So messy as hell, if that describes your current state. You don't have to be the perfect student. You can ask the stupid questions and you can be amongst others who truly get it, all from the comfort of your own damn home or wherever the hell you choose to do this. Now, there are only 8 spots left. Yes, 8 spots left. So head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That's breathe with an E at the end. adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. I promise you, because this has been my experience and the experience of so many others, this is the work that you are going to see great dividends on, okay?